Do you ever get angry? Silly question. We all do. But how do you handle anger? How do you move forward through it? And most importantly, how do you cope with yourself when you're angry, and how to help others cope is what this episode is all about. And I think it's going to be a little bit of a touchy subject because it's anger. And I think anger in general is just like a hot stove. I know I'm not supposed to touch it, but you know, I got to do something about that heat. Welcome to the 5-Year You Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow? How you doing, Kat?
I'm good. If you're watching on YouTube, you will see that I have brought my smiley face hat to this interview about anger, this podcast episode about anger, I should say. I am dressed and ready for the occasion.
This episode was your idea, and I really like it. My whole life, I was really tamped down with anger. It wasn't something that you exhibited. The dynamic that I had just didn't allow for it because of my sister and her sensitivities to noise and just any kind of aggression, really. I'm kind of discovering anger in a safe way, as you would call it, in my later years. What would you say to somebody like me who is like, how do I handle this? You know, when I get angry, what do I do?
Well, it's a good question. I was actually going to encourage you to give listeners some background, because if this is their first time listening to our show, they might not know. I know you've talked about your sister a lot in previous episodes, but they might not have understood that reference. And then that can give us a good jumping off point, like just sharing some of our personal experiences and how we've had to learn and adapt to anger and handling it and all of that.
Absolutely. My sister has very, very severe autism. I would say she's kind of trapped, 40-year-old trapped in a 3-year-old's body. And growing up, she would get terrible migraines all the time. Like it was, you could set your clock to it. You knew like it was Monday afternoon, she would have a migraine and it would last for usually a couple of days. As I went through all this, I had to get quiet. And then there was other things that came up. My sister abused me. She was very violent with me. And I was never as angry as I could get. I knew better than to retaliate against my sister, who really didn't have control of her faculties when these things were happening. But I also ended up swallowing a lot of anger that didn't have many releases over the years. And so my coping way of doing that with my anger just was, I don't know if it's common or not. I never know if my experiences are common. I'm starting to, the more people I talk to, I'm getting like head shakes going like, no, that wasn't normal. So maybe this is a normal anger thing. Maybe it's not. But I find that experiencing anger led me to just feel on edge because that energy had nowhere to go. I mean, like, what is anger? It's this buildup of energy. It's like a fight or flight response that doesn't have a release in my case, but for many other people, it comes out in very different ways. It comes out with, you know, passive aggressive, I think would have been my only release, which isn't really a release. It's just like burying it deeper. Another one would be, you know, just explosive outbursts, which I lived with because of my sister, but I personally was never like that. And then there's just like that internalization too, that I don't know how to handle it. So it just kind of sits there and I feel terrible and pressure cooker with those types of things.
Yeah. And you know that this is my sentiment, but I still am very sorry that you had to go through that as a child. You know, no child should have to tamp down their anger, but also like tamp down their joy just to avoid, you know, noises and things like that. And all of us, including the people listening, have likely had some type of experience or some type of negative experience with anger, whether they saw like the wrong ways to handle it, or, you know, they've had to learn on their own how to handle it, or maybe right now it's something they're struggling with and they don't know the next steps to take. So whether or not someone has been in your exact situation, they likely have encountered anger and like the discomfort that it causes outside people and within yourself.
Well, thank you for saying that in the beginning and for normalizing some of the stuff in a positive way. I appreciate you doing that.
Sure. I know for me, I have seen a lot and have been around a lot of examples of explosive anger in my lifetime. And it's really been in the last couple of years that I have been very insistent upon having a calm home and calm environment. And what I had to do, like, in this process and what I continue to do is I had to realize that I actually had a ton of anger within myself. You know, initially I thought, I'm in this home, I'm solo parenting, I'm, you know, going to have this like home where we feel our feelings and everything is very soft. But I had a lot of unresolved anger that I've had to work through. And when it came out, it always came out in moments of high stress, of course. It was more likely to come out when I've had a bad night of sleep. And I know that a lot of parents can relate to this, you know, like maybe snapping at your kids or something and you feel terrible about it later. I always apologize to my kids, like when I snap at them later, because I want to set the example for them for how you should handle big things. Now, a couple things about me is I am very sensory sensitive. I think that, you know, had I been at my kids' age today, there would have been a lot more things in place to like manage that, you know, like there's like sensory days at museums and things like that. That is me to a T. But of course, when I was a kid, they weren't anything in place like that, right? So even now, I find that I've got to manage a lot of sensory overload. And one of the coping things that I do, and one of the things that I've instituted in place for myself, is I let my kids know like where I'm at a 10. So if they are maybe having a hard day or they're tired, maybe there's a little bit more whining or a little bit more, you know, sibling disagreement or something like that, I can say, guys, I'm just letting you know, mommy's at an 8. Because a few years ago, I would have just like tamped it down, dealt with it, tried to fix the problem, made dinner anyway, and something would be the last straw. And I'd be like, I'd yell, or I'd be like, go to your room or do whatever, like it's bedtime, like turn the TV off, whatever it is. But now what I do is I try to let the people in my life ahead of time know where I'm at on the scale. And then I have to take extra steps to put myself first. And it's up to me and it's my responsibility to pull myself down on the number chart and get myself back to a baseline so that I can be a better mom, partner, worker, all the things to everyone else.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to dig into this a little bit more if that's all right, just because I think what you're expressing and what you're explaining are very, very common for a lot of people in the population where it comes out often in the wrong place and on the wrong person. Mm-hmm. And there's no finger pointing with that. It's just, we need to have two things. First of all, we need to have self-awareness because then we can change. For you, when you start to get angry, what are your cues? What are the things that are you start to kind of go, I'm not 100% all right, or I'm getting to a 10, as you phrased it?
An incredible amount of impatience. I do feel like I have a well of patience. I have twins. I have, you know, been a work from home mom since the time they were born. I am able to manage a lot of chaos and run a business in the midst of chaos. And so I can usually very calmly tell my kids, all right, I'm noticing you two are disagreeing again on who's sitting in the front seat. You know, and instead of being like, you know, suck it up, do rock, paper, scissors, and like, are both of you sitting in the bag or whatever, you know, I'm just like, you need to go talk about it amongst yourselves, learn how to negotiate or whatever. But I notice that if my like immediate tendency is just to like snap or be like, oh my God, I can't deal with this, I know that I'm getting to that point of like impatience. I'm running out of steam, energy. I think every day I wake up with a well of patience. It's just like this little bucket of water I'm carrying around. But things test my patience, right? And yeah, I can handle things, like I can handle slow lines, traffic, all these things. It's usually at the end of the day when the little bucket only has a few drops left that I can feel it. It's the impatience, and the impatience leads to overwhelm because then it's like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. This is too much for me, too many places to go, too many things left on the checklist, and then I just kind of spiral.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. What are your ways of diffusing these things as you start to notice them coming up? What do you do to diffuse? You mentioned kind of like letting people know, but I'm more talking about like there is a physical sensation in your body as this is happening that's probably getting ignored. And I know for myself, it's like, by the time you point out that I'm angry, I've already been angry for a while because I'm just not that aware. And I think there's a bit of shame in my instance too, of like, you're not, everybody calls me calm all the time. So I feel like when I'm not living up to that. So for you, what do you do? You're at a 10, you're at a 20 or 100 if you go that high, I'm not sure. But you know, like whatever you are at, what do you do?
I don't think anyone wants to see that. Well, first, I will answer your question of what I do when I'm at a 10. Your comment reminded me of something like Ellen DeGeneres said. I think she did her stand-up after her show and she was like, you do not know how hard it is to be like the funny, nice person all the time. You can't yell at anyone in traffic, like you can't put a toe out of line. And when you were saying like, you know, everyone's like always saying how nice and calm Andrew is, and he is. But I can see how it would cause a little spike of shame. Like if you are feeling that way, you might be like, oh, everyone thinks I'm nice and calm, but I'm so mad right now. As part of that, Andrew, I think it's good for us to say on this show is one of our beliefs is that there are no bad emotions. There's just emotions. There are emotions that feel better in our bodies. There's emotions that we'd like to have, but we've said this before, right? We wouldn't know happy without sad. We wouldn't know joy without the anger. We wouldn't know these things. We wouldn't know feeling healthy without being sick sometimes. And so the contrast is necessary. And for that reason, there are no bad feelings. However, what I tell my kids all the time is you can feel however you want. You just can't act however you want. Right. So they can be feeling mad, but they can't yell at people in the middle of Target or something. Right. You know, not that they ever would, but it's like you can have the feeling, but we all have to find ways that work for us. I'm happy to share the coping skills that I do when I'm at a 10, but they're very specific to me and my personality. And that's why we always talk about self-awareness. So you have to be, you meaning our listeners, have to be aware of what it means for you, what it brings out in you, and things that work for you. So for me, highly sensory sensitive and a major introvert. So when I'm at a 10, the thing I need the most is to recharge my battery. Andrew can attest to this, of the miracle of 30 minutes alone for me. I can go in my room for 30 minutes. I can put on a fiction book. I can get under the covers. I can even set like a 30-minute alarm on my phone and not sleep, but just kind of just chill. And what I feel in my body when I'm angry is I actually feel a sense of heat in my forehead. I feel like I have a fever. I feel like I could touch my fingers to my head and it's like burning hot. I feel that sensation. And so for me personally, given how my personality is, 30 minutes by myself, like cools that heat off of me. It takes all the things that are like prickly on me and it just brings it down to where it literally only takes 30 minutes and I can come back and do what I need to do.
I'm just going to go over my process. Usually somebody is pointing out that I'm angry or I will look down. My tell is always my fists. And it's not like I'd be like, you know, making fists. I would just be like, my hands would start to clench. I think is maybe a better term. I was tension. Yeah, it was a clenching. Same thing with my jaw. And so when those things happen, I recognize that there is what I'm holding on to is the absence of the feeling, if that's something you can hold on to, is meaning like I'm angry, but I don't want to feel angry. But my body is coming up and it's going like, no, we're angry right now. We got to do something about this. So what I'm trying to find balance with right now is for ways to release it. So punching a pillow works for a lot of people. It gets that physical energy out. I've done that once or twice. I'm not a very violent person. So to me, I'm like, you know, wanting to apologize to the pillow afterwards for hitting it, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
Snuggling with the pillow.
So one of the things that, you know, recently I did was I have like a Vibe platform and it just shakes you basically like while you do your exercises. So I just did like a quick circuit on it for 5-10 minutes and it just kind of helps to get that energy moving along. So, you know, it's cold outside. I didn't feel like going for a walk, but I used to go for like a walk or a run. I come back feeling a lot better. Breathing is another one that I find that works better in the beginning. Meaning like if I'm starting to go like, you know, just as an example, if you were to say like, you know, that was a dumb idea and I get offended and get a little angry. Not that you've ever said that.
I don't think I've ever said that, but good example.
But when that happens, like, I'll just be like, okay, that, you know, take a couple of deep breaths in, just focus on the exhale, letting that energy that's starting to build up come out. And that's really how I try to look at things is if there is an energy that is building up inside of you, which is being caused like by anger, which is like, you know, your heart races, your body tenses up, that energy needs to be dispelled one way or another, or else it gets buried inside of you in a way that, you know, it'll come out later. It might come out in 20 minutes. It might come out in 2 years at a, you know, most inopportune time. I think part of it is just knowing what works for you and finding those healthy ways to kind of release it. You were over yesterday and we have that Instant Pot and there's two pressure valves on it. And when you want to let the, when your cooking's done, there's a ton of pressure in this thing. And you can do it one of two ways. You can just let that pressure kind of release gradually and naturally on its own, which is really good if you're not really hungry and wanting to, you know, just let it cook. But most likely you're starving and you want to let it out and there's a pressure valve for it. And when the pressure comes out, it's like it's burn your finger off type of hot. So you have to be very careful with that. And I think that's a really good analogy for kind of looking at ways of releasing your anger in a way that makes sense. Because if you don't release it in those two ways, that pressure stays in some kind of shift you along. Anger is that one where you kind of got to let it out in the ways that it makes sense. So I liked your idea too, Kat, of just laughing, you know, like just of like watching a show or something like that. We've gotten into watching some pretty good shows and it's like, no matter what we're watching and it makes us laugh, it's just a release of that energy and it's so much better.
Yeah, it is. And I feel like it's important for me to say on this episode, we are talking about being self-aware and releasing anger. And we did say that anger is an emotion and that there are no bad emotions. However, it's really important for me to note the distinction between, you know, anger and violence, which is acting out anger. And I want to say that it is never okay for somebody to physically harm you or any of your belongings. Anger manifests as holes in the wall, breaking furniture, things being thrown, things like that. That is unacceptable levels of anger. What we are talking about, somebody like that who does things like that has far surpassed any number on any scale, and your life needs major, you know, intervention. Nobody deserves that. So what we're talking about is general day-to-day feelings and fluctuations and just how to make sure that you can get back to a state of calm. And so I just felt like it was important to say that. So no one ever thinks that we're condoning anger by saying it's a normal emotion. I just felt it on my heart to clarify that.
I'm just getting a number up right here. If you are in a situation and you find yourself like that, where you do not feel safe with the person you are around, there are crisis centers that you can go to. There are people and places you can call. But if you are finding yourself in a situation where the anger has escalated to violence and rage, then you need to remove yourself from that situation, as painful as it might be. Your safety is more important. It's paramount. Thank you for bringing that up. Sure. And we can put some phone numbers into the notes too.
Let's say a glimmer. I know I didn't mean to end on a heavy note, but I just felt it on my heart to say it.
Definitely needed to be said.
But I think we have a shared glimmer, and that's that we got to hang out all last week in the flesh, in the person, face to face.
In the person.
As human beings, not through the screen.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. We got to do, you came up here because it was American Thanksgiving, and in Canada, it was Thursday. So we just did normal human things and
I went to my first hockey game. We saw Wicked. We went out to eat for American Thanksgiving because Andrew very kindly offered to cook and make turkey and stuff. And I was just like, no, let's skip it. And it was nice.
I like that. I like that we were able to kind of forego old traditions and create new ones. I did that in Canadian Thanksgiving, or as you guys like to call it, the second weekend of October. And we did it. And it was really, really, it's nice. I had a really good time. it's also a lot nicer when you're not having to cook a turkey, I've discovered. So yeah, not that I've cooked a ton of turkeys in my lifetime, but you know.
Yeah, it was good. It was a really good time. We did attempt to take a walk outside, but it was negative 11 billion degrees and we lasted about 1 minute. I think my eyeballs like couldn't even see straight. It was so cold.
Yeah. Catherine understands why I look younger than I actually am. It's because my face only ages half the year. The other half, it is frozen cryogenically from the winter in Canada.
And it makes so much sense now. You guys didn't know all those beauty routines were just available just by being Canadian. Yeah. So anyway, I had a really nice time. Thank you so much for hosting me and having me. And it was a lot of fun. Should do it again sometime.
Yeah, we'll definitely do it again. Thank you so much for coming up. And for all you listening, thanks again for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Just a reminder, we're two people on the internet. We're not doctors or anything else, but we do want to help. If you feel that you need professional medical care, please see a licensed medical practitioner.